Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, how we need the Lord. How we need the Lord. Psalm 90 speaks of the trouble in life. Whether we are 70 years old or by reason of strength 80 years old, we read, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for soon it is cut off and we fly away. And so the psalmist there comes to God in Psalm 90. He says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Our days are numbered. Now we step into a new year. What is going to happen in this new year? We don't know. It's a new year, and yet much of the same old, old things are going to happen, aren't they? There will continue to be death. There will continue to be temptations. There will continue to be wars and rumors of wars. What is going to happen this year? I don't know, you don't know, and thankfully, we don't know. For as Jesus says in Matthew, each day has enough trouble of its own. We don't have to borrow trouble. But trouble there will be, and sorrow, difficulty. The hymn writer, Henry Francis Leighty, wrote 2 months before his death this hymn. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforters flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. We find warrant, at least for that last stanza in that hymn, in our text, don't we? Change and decay in all around I see, O thou who changest not, abide with me. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Beloved, what a golden nugget we have in that text. A text used by many to prove that Jesus Christ is divine. Very doubtful that the apostle there is trying to prove Christ's divinity in that particular text. That's not the purpose there. He's already proved that in the first chapter of Hebrews, that Christ is the divine Son of God. What is he trying to say? Commentators are puzzled by the insertion of that text right there. There are those who would like to take that text and say it really belongs between verses 5 and 6. It would fit in there very well. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then you could insert Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me. But that is not where the text is found. Rather, it is found between verses 7 and 8. What is it doing there? What's its purpose there? Remember them that have the rule over you, writes the author to the Hebrew believers. He talks about those rulers in three different verses in this chapter. Again, in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And then again in verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you. But those whom the author of Hebrews is writing about in verse 7 are not the same as what we have in verse 17 and verse 24. For he says in verse 7, remember them which had the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. He's thinking there of the leaders in the past. Remember them. Remember the word that they brought to you. And he goes on to say, whose faith follow. And he's talking there about their faith, not now in the subjective sense of their active faith, they believed, but rather he's talking about faith in the objective sense, that is, the content of what they believed. Follow that content. They and we are an apostolic church. We are built upon that foundation laid down by the apostles. Now he says, remember them. Why? Well, this little flock is dealing with discouragement and disappointment. They look at these leaders that they have been given for a while and they were taken away. Look at what happened to them. Stephen, stoned by unbelieving Jews. James, put to death by Herod. Look at what happened to them. Now who is going to lead us? And how beautifully then verse 8 fits after that. Remember those who led you in the past, those under shepherds who cared for your souls. What's going to happen to you now? Well, the chief shepherd is still active and with you. Don't worry. Yes, the under shepherds have left, just as your under shepherd has retired. But the Lord Jesus is your shepherd, and he's going to take care of you. He's with you. He is with this little flock. His word is still with that little flock as it is with you. And the Christ of that word remains with his flock, and in his own time, he will give you another under shepherd. Isn't that the comfort of the church of all ages? Jesus stays with his people. Yesterday, today, and forever. There's another reason why we find our text there between verse 7 and 8. For in verse 9, he warns this little congregation about not being carried away with diverse and strange doctrines. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change. That needs to be emphasized over against, especially, it appears, to be the Judaizers that were pestering these Jewish believers. They were coming in and they were saying, yes, believe in Jesus, but if you want to be a really good believer, you need more than to believe in Jesus. You also got to keep on obeying these Old Testament ceremonial laws. You need to keep these feasts. You need to eat only kosher meat. You need to continue to have the circumcision done on your body. All these other things are also necessary for you if you're going to be an excellent believer. And that doctrine is the doctrine of devils. That is a doctrine that questions the sufficiency of God's grace in Christ Jesus. And so he says, don't be carried away with those diverse and strange doctrines. For it's good for the heart to be established by grace and not these ceremonial laws and these extra things that others will put on you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is the same. And we'll get back to that later on, how important that is for the church today. The truth cannot be changed. Follow their faith. Follow that faith of our fathers. But even if it weren't those two texts that surround our text, the whole content of this chapter. The content of this chapter is filled with warnings and admonitions. All kinds of them. Let brotherly love continue. Don't forget to entertain strangers. Remember those in bonds. Be careful with your marriages. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And the admonitions continue all the way to the end of the chapter. And in the midst of all those admonitions, it seems like the author to the Hebrews is rather stunned. Stunned by how little we fulfill those admonitions. At times it almost seems hopeless. I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't have the zeal for the kingdom as I ought. What hope is there? Almost hopeless, we add to the burden of our sins daily. And in the light of our inability to keep these admonitions as we ought, he cries out here with a victorious voice, Jesus Christ! Jesus Christ! The same yesterday, today, and forever. That's my hope, not myself, not my obedience, but Jesus Christ, who came and yesterday laid down his life on the tree, who stood in my place, who bore the wrath of God for me. In Jesus Christ, I am forgiven, I am washed. Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. That's why I can go on. That's why you and I can go on in the year 2015. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my Savior, my Lord, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the unchangeable Jesus, unchangeable in himself. Unchangeable in the midst of change that goes around us. He is unchangeable eternal. Yes, he is unchangeable in himself. Last night, you read the Nicene Creed. Beautiful phrase in that creed. True God of true God. Jesus Christ is essentially God. With him are all these attributes if we follow the Athanasian Creed. We did that in our congregation last night. The eternal God, unchangeable, all-knowing, all-wise, all-righteous, and the list goes on. Christ is truly God. And as Malachi says, we can say it of Christ Jesus, I change not. But we see Christ Jesus, don't we, in our human nature. That human nature that almost hides his divine nature the first time he came in this world. Is Jesus Christ unchanging? when he left the glory of heaven and he came into the stable, the filth of our sins, when he bore the likeness of our sinful flesh, wasn't he weak? Wasn't he utterly dependent upon his mother? Wouldn't he cry out when he was hungry? Wouldn't he become tired? Wouldn't he cry at the death of his good friend Lazarus? He changed, didn't he? He changed, that is, in his human nature. We have to be careful with this text. Of course he changed in his human nature. Left the glory of heaven, and he entered into the state of humiliation. But he did not stay in that state of humiliation. Death could not hold him. On the third day he rose again. He entered into the state of exaltation. From glory to glory, he ascended into heaven. He's sitting at God's right hand, and he's coming with the clouds of glory. So what does the text mean that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And it means this. While he changed in his earthly life for our sake, to be our victor, in this one aspect he does not change. The author of Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. Jesus, that name that means Jehovah's salvation. This person, Jesus Christ, is the revelation of God's work of salvation for us and in us. He is the revelation of the God who saves us from our sins. He is the revelation of the triune God who has chosen us from the foundation of the world. And he is the revelation of the infinite love of God, where he gave his only begotten Son to save us. That will not change. Jesus, Jehovah's salvation. That name that not Joseph or Mary were to give their son, but the angel tells them, this is the name that you're going to give to the Savior, your son. Jesus. Jehovah salvation. Unchangeable. Unchangeable because he is the Son of God, because he is the very means through whom God saves his people. The same. The same in his everlasting love. God who has loved us from eternity. Does he love me today? I have dealt with those who have been very discouraged in their life. Bad things happened to them when they were a child, and they always questioned their worth. They questioned, does God love me? And I'm sure there are times when you ask that question, especially when you become very conscious of your sinfulness. God doesn't change. He who gave his only begotten Son for you, he made manifest his love for you once for all. That love doesn't change. He loves you today. And he will love you forever, no matter how disobedient and rebellious you are at times. He loves you. His word, his promises, will they change? And the answer is absolutely not. He is Jesus, Jehovah's salvation, who remains the same. And so the word that was written down once for all in the scriptures, That word that he spoke when he was on earth is the same word that he speaks to you and me. The promises never become null and void. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jehovah's salvation. What doesn't change? That powerful work where he takes filthy, wretched sinners like you and me, and he turns us around to himself, and he holds us, he preserves us in his hands so that not one of his children are lost. What doesn't change? His purpose. And if you wonder about his purpose, go to that high priestly prayer in John 17. Father, I have glorified thy name on earth. That's what he did yesterday when he was on earth. And that's what he continues to do today. He glorifies God by his work of redeeming his people and holding his people, preserving his people, and bringing them to glory. That will be his purpose forever. He doesn't change. Moreover, in our text, the author of Hebrews takes these two names of Jesus together. He doesn't do that very often in Hebrews. Often he calls our Savior Jesus, or he calls him the Christ. But in a few passages, and in our passage, he takes the two names together. Jesus, Jehovah's salvation, the Christ, that is, the Anointed One. The Greek name for the Hebrew word Messiah, the one whom God has chosen and appointed to be our Savior. He is qualified. He's given a body to him, and he has given him the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher. Our teacher who taught us when he was on earth yesterday. That is Christ Jesus, who today comes with his same word, not new doctrines, but he is still our chief prophet who causes us to know our God, who causes us to know our sinfulness, who causes us to know the only way of salvation through his blood, who causes us to know how we are to live. Jesus Christ, our priest, and how the author of Hebrews loves to play with that function of our Savior. We do not have a priest after the order of Aaron, for there the priests came and they went. They lived and they died. They inherited their office. Their work was never done. But we have Christ who never changes. He is the eternal priest who laid down his life on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. And he is able to sit down at God's right hand because the one sacrifice is accomplished. All sins are removed. He is able to say, it is finished. That high priest of yesterday is the high priest, our high priest today. That is, he is in heaven, taking and applying the work of his sacrifice once accomplished to each of us daily, pouring out the blessings of his cross and resurrection. He is the Savior who is still interceding for us today and forever. He is the one who is preparing mansions for us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever, our eternal King. He who came yesterday into the world to establish his kingdom by his death and resurrection. He is still the King today. He rules his church today by his word and spirit in his grace. And he is the one who rules this world in his power. All things are placed at his feet. Do I worry about this coming year? What is going to take place? Who's ruling? Whether it be Psalm 93 or whether it be Psalm 97, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth be glad. Christ is the King. The same yesterday, today, and forever. A king. What does he do for his people? He cares for them. He protects them from the enemy. He surrounds them. He defeats all their enemies. O child of God, we are in the hand, the pierced hand of our eternal King. And not one of those who love the Lord Jesus Christ will fall, will be plucked out of the Savior's hand. Jesus Christ. The revelation of God's salvation, the appointed Savior, is the same yesterday, today, forever. He is unchangeable in the midst of change. We are creatures of time, aren't we? And that means we're constantly changing. If you question that, go look in the mirror. You're not the same sprout that you were 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or maybe more. Last week I was looking at Facebook, and there was a young couple that I married in my second charge down in Illinois. And now there was a picture of them and their grown daughters, and surprising, the lady hasn't changed much. But I looked at the poor man, and that poor guy looked older than me. We change, don't we? As we age, we change. Our moods change, don't they? There are people who can be like oranges one day and they're like a sour lemon the next day. Depending upon circumstances which change us. Oh, children know how to gauge it, don't they? What kind of a mood are dad and mom in? Is this a good time to ask them for this or for that? Or is this not the best time? We change. Sin changes us, doesn't it? We'll say at times, I will forgive you 7 times, but then we draw the line at the 8th time, don't we? Or we can be friendly outwardly while we're like frost inside. Or we say, or we think, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. We change. Not only do we change, the church changes, doesn't it? Usually not for the better. We see apostasy creeping in. We see the Word of God challenged, where instead of sitting underneath the Word, men want to sit over the Word. And so the doctrine of creation challenged, the historicity of Jesus Christ challenged, morals challenged. What change in the church as Jesus Christ walks amongst the lampstands? What warnings need to be sounded at times? And lamps removed from the lampstand. The world changes that we live in. Wonderful technology out there. But wonderful technology that the devil also can use as a powerful tool to lead us astray. the world that we live in. We thought the Cold War was over. And all of a sudden, Russia is raising its head again and invading its neighbor's territory, daring us to step in. The president says that we're done in Iraq. And yet now with ISIS, our troops are moving back in there again. Wars and rumors of wars, troubles all around. New sicknesses breaking out, even as other sicknesses there are find cures for. Changes. What will this new year bring? I don't know. I don't want to know. But I do know this. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. Jesus Christ, who is with his church when he was on here on earth, is the Jesus Christ who remains with his church today. And he will remain with his church forever. And his word that was given to his church is his word still today. It doesn't change. Though men may start doubting the old doctrines, Reformed churches even wanting to rewrite completely their confessions based, they say, on the fact of evolution, we have God's word. And we have, thankfully to God, good Reformed confessions based on that word. God's word doesn't change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. A Jesus Christ whom we know, a Jesus Christ whom we love, a Jesus Christ whom by God's grace we will continue to serve. Till he calls us home, till he says, servant, young man, young lady, your days are over. Come, enter into the joy of your master. We serve a living Savior, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to say something about that last word, don't we? Forever. Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Lord, the revelation of Jehovah's salvation, our prophet, priest, and king, not just today, but forever. And forever, then be thinking about heaven. Forever there, Jesus Christ will stand as the revelation of Jehovah's salvation. As we look at his pierced side or his pierced hands, there is my Savior, the one by whom God saved me from all my sin. There will be Jesus Christ forever in heaven as my chief prophet, revealing to me the unseen God. And in Christ Jesus, seeing his face, I will see the Father, as he said to his disciples in John 14. There in heaven, Jesus Christ as my priest, applying to me daily the life that he has earned for me and all the other benefits of joy and happiness. There in heaven, Jesus Christ is my king, ruling me and you as citizens of that heavenly kingdom in the new heavens and the new earth. What an outlook! Jesus Christ, who was here on earth for a little while, is the Jesus Christ today, our Savior and our Lord. The Jesus Christ, the same forever and ever in heaven. And we look forward to that day. What is 2015 all about? Not about me, not about what kind of things are going to happen here in life, but it is my living relationship with Christ Jesus, living each day for him and for the glory of our great God. 2015, do we dare step in it? And we say, absolutely. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. May that be the music. May that be the song we sing in the darkness of the night and the world around us. Jesus Christ saves. Amen. Father in heaven, how wonderful to know that thou art the living one in our midst right now. And because thou art in our midst, we are called to rest. Do we dare to be afraid? In the midst of the shock of battle, the stress of life, the overwhelming perplexities of things, Jesus is the same. We march on then, without fear, without faltering, because it is the pierced hand of Christ Jesus that holds the scepter of the universe. All is well with my soul. Lead on, O King Eternal. Amen.